So on this second to the last day of 2010, as part of our week-long series of conversations, we're inviting some of our favorite guests from the past year back to talk about what happened in their part of the world and what they foresee in the year ahead. We can continue that discussion today with the Afghanistan. We're all involved in some way. Here's how President Obama and his administration might sum up our ninth year of the war there.
There will be a difficult struggle with the insurgency in the months ahead.
We're increasing our troops and training Afghan security forces so they can begin to take the lead in July of 2011.
We've eliminated 12 of their top 20 people. We have taken out 100 of their associates. We've sent them underground.
Today I accepted General Stanley McChrystal's resignation.
I didn't come out here to carry out a graceful exit or something like that.
The bottom line is that the military progress made in just the past 3 to 4 months has exceeded my expectations.
Voices of the Obama administration thinking about quite a year in Afghanistan, but our eyes on the ground come from Kristen Rouse this morning. She's a first lieutenant in the Army National Guard, a veteran of the Afghan War. She just returned from her deployment 2 weeks ago, and she joins us to celebrate the new year and to think about 2010, the year just passed. Kristen, it's great to have you in the studio.
Good morning, John. Thank you for having me.
And it's terrific that you got back safely and that all of the fears that we talked about earlier in the year didn't necessarily transpire. And I'm wondering your sense of the good you were able to do or what you were able to accomplish in 2010 in Afghanistan.
Well, it's great to be home, and I do feel like in the 9 month tour that that I went on with my team, that we did make progress. We did put pressure on the insurgents in our area. We had a lot of people out on the ground, a lot of patrols, very active, interacting a lot with the local population, and taking the fight to the enemy out there. And we saw a lot of areas that were very. Although they remain high, very complicated, and I don't mean to sugarcoat it at all, but there was tangible progress there where you see communities starting to, in a sincere way, reject the Taliban and work with the government of Afghanistan and U.S. and coalition forces to receive development projects, road improvements, schools.
Take me into a room where you assess both the complexity of, man, if we could just get moving in here, and also begin to see glimpses of people coming around, people being convinced, a story, a particular community that started to come your way.
Well, my job, which was in logistical support, right, for the warfighters out there, my interaction with Afghans was primarily with the Afghan Army, and we, part of our tasking was not just to support our warfighters who are out there, but also to with resupply convoys, mechanical support, that type of thing. But we also worked with an Afghan Army unit that also provided that type of support for their warfighters. And so so I ended up interacting a lot with these Afghan Army officers who were mostly aged in their 50s and 60s and had been around a while and knew a lot
of
stuff.
Is their experience a problem in the sense that it's very patriarchal in Afghanistan? Leaders are leaders because they've been leaders, and the idea of succession and advancement it's not really a meritocracy in Afghanistan.
Well, there's always that aspect in any, in a lot of organizations, and some might point out even in American organizations, we may have some of those issues as well. It's hard to overcome, but by and large, I found that these men were very accomplished professionals. They knew what they were doing. They had experienced a great deal throughout their lives and their careers. Most of them had in some way participated in the Afghan Army, either during the communist regime or immediately following when President Najibullah was in power until the Taliban overthrew that and took over. And
there's a name from the past, Najibullah.
And then also the colonel that I worked with sometimes, he had fought with Ahmad Shah Massoud in the Northern Alliance.
Right.
And so
right before 9/11.
That's correct. Yeah. And so there's a great depth of experience there. And you know, I didn't serve under them, but I saw them on a regular basis and what they were doing. We talked a lot about our missions and what we were doing. We cooperated together. My soldiers worked with theirs on a lot of occasions. And and so just to know them over 9 months and, you know, to talk about families and you know, what our lives are like, you know, at both at home and in the office. I really felt like I had the amazing opportunity to get to know them somewhat.
So what's the fear going forward as the U.S. begins to get on a withdrawal posture in Afghanistan, which may not be next year, but certainly coming?
Well, we didn't really talk about that. And it's also, you know, what's polite in conversation with Afghans, you know, and also what, let's remain focused on what we're doing in the here and now. They knew that we were there on a limited tour and that when our tour was up, we would change over with another group of Americans who they would meet and have just as cordial a relationship with that we hoped. And I'm sure that that's continuing with the team that replaced us.
Cynicism about what's gone on in Afghanistan and the inability of things to change and get better that has been expressed on this program from Afghans, you know, all through this year and as long as we've been covering the war.
What amazed me about these gentlemen who several of them were Pashtun, who mm-hmm. I thought, like, oh, these guys are really conservative. They don't want to talk to women, that type of thing. Those are the guys who really took me in. And those are the guys who I cooked with. Those are the ones who invited me for meals and tea and who we really talked about family and life with. And what surprised me was their lack of cynicism, because I would talk to them at length and try to get them to tell me stories about their past. And they know very well what it's like for when the Soviets withdrew and were propping up President Najibullah. You know, they were in the army then, and they were battling against an insurgency. They were battling against the Taliban. The Afghan officer who I worked probably most closely with, he's a logistics officer. He told me a story once that floored me about battles with the Taliban. That it wasn't dozens dead after the battle. It wasn't hundreds dead. It was thousands. Mm. And he was a medical logistics officer, and he was responsible for inventorying and transporting all of the casualties who were out on the ground after a battle. And he told me about loading up the trucks. Like, they didn't have enough trucks to transport everything that needed to get transported. They piled on the dead bodies on the trucks, and they didn't and they had to put the wounded on top of them. I mean, like, that I can't even fathom that. So, but the fact that he would day after day receive me in as a good friend and still work, knowing that we were there on a limited basis, that they don't know what the future holds, you know, but you know, God willing, inshallah, this is going to work out.
Before we go, and very quickly, how much faith do you have that 2011 will be better?
I really hope it's better for both the U.S. troops and the commitment and the effort that we're putting forward there, and all of the sacrifices of of our U.S. troops and their families to honor that, and also because Afghans deserve better.
Well, your face says it all. Kristen Rouse, First Lieutenant in the Army National Guard, veteran of the war in Afghanistan. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, John.
And Happy New Year to all of our listeners. And you know how to reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.